Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm just merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 83 degrees. It was a high of about 84. A little stormy this morning, but on the whole, it was a beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. No emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating their birthday? Maybe today? Maybe it was this week? Maybe it's upcoming next week. Anyone that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy?
VK2, Delta Yankee.
Well, I guess it's good evening for you, Robert. I know your birthday is coming. I think it's the 25th or something like that. Am I correct?
Absolutely correct. It's the 25th of the month, so coming up next Monday. And hopefully it'll be won't be raining, and I'll be able to go see a drone show on the evening of my birth. But anyway, thank you for taking my check-in, PK2DY.
Well, may I be the first to say happy, happy. But I also had a birthday. It was this week. It was May 19th. So I had a nice visit from Gordon's youngest son, which is my stepson, and he spent a couple days with me. And also, I had very close friends come and visit me. Maybe not on my birthday, but they've been here a few days helping me with my ham equipment. And he's here tonight, and that's Roger and Charlotte. In fact, they just left here not too long ago, but I wanted to thank them on air for all that they've done for me in the past few days. So let me pause for just a moment. All right, this is the Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise you that if you've been part of this net tonight, it is being recorded and you'll be part of that recording. So all stations participating, like I said, will be part of that recording. Our topic tonight is understanding our changing climate. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to our net manager to begin the program this evening, and I want to thank everyone for being here, and especially to thank you for allowing me to open it up. So GW8SZL, Dave, are you ready to take it?
K6SUN from GW8SZL. Thank you very much there, Kathy, for opening up the TIN this month once again. Really do appreciate it. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the SCARS VOIP Thursday Information Net. The purpose of the Thursday Information Net is to provide interesting, educational, and thought-provoking presentations covering not only amateur radio topics, but also science, technology, communications, history, and subjects of general interest to our worldwide listening audience. Tonight's presentation for this evening focuses on one of the most widely discussed scientific and environmental subjects of modern times, and that is, of course, climate change. Our narrators this evening will examine the science behind climate change, the role of greenhouse gases, the effects of El Nino and La Nina, changing jet streams, melting polar ice, increasing severe weather patterns, and possible future impacts upon society, infrastructure, communications, and emergency preparedness. The subject of climate change can often generate strong opinions and political debate. However, tonight we will focus primarily upon the scientific observations, weather systems, environmental changes, and technological aspects connected with the topic. We hope tonight's discussion will be informative, balanced, and interesting for everybody listening. And now, without further delay, we begin tonight's SCARS VOLP Thursday Information Net. So sit back and enjoy the program, and we'll get things underway by bringing in our first narrator, and that is Declan, 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, the kind young ham, who is with me here in Newport, South Wales in the UK. 2W0KYH from GW8SNL. It's all yours there, Declan. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome once again to the SCARS VOIP Thursday Informational Net for the 21st of May 2026. Tonight we move away slightly from the traditional radio and electronic subjects and instead examine something that affects every country, every community, every coastline, every farmer, every city, every emergency service, and increasingly every one of us in our daily lives. Tonight we are talking about climate change. Around the world, people have noticed unusual and sometimes extreme weather becoming increasingly common. Summers in many regions are lasting longer, becoming hotter, and winter storms in some areas are becoming violent and destructive. Flooding events that once happened, perhaps once in a century, now seem to occur every few years. Droughts are lasting longer. Wildfires are burning larger areas for longer periods of time. Glaciers are retreating. Arctic sea ice continues to shrink, and ocean temperatures are reaching record highs. The obvious question is many people ask is this. Are these isolated weather events, or are they all connected as part of a much larger change taking place across the Earth? Tonight we will look at what climate change actually means, what scientists believe is driving it, how natural systems like El Niño and La Niña affect worldwide weather, how the jet stream influences storms and temperature patterns, why melting polar ice matters, and why many experts believe severe weather events are becoming increasingly intense. We will also look at the future, and how science, technology, forecasting, communications, and preparedness may help societies adapt to changing conditions. Now before we go further, it is important to understand one key point. Weather and climate are not the same thing. Weather is what happens over short periods of time. It is whether it rains tomorrow, whether next week is windy, or whether temperatures rise suddenly for a few days. Climate, in comparison, is the long-term average pattern of weather over many decades. One cold winter does not disprove climate change, just as one heat wave does not prove it. Scientists study trends across many years and across the entire planet. The Earth's climate has never been completely stable. Over millions of years, our planet has experienced ice ages, warming periods, volcanic winters, and dramatic environmental changes. Ancient deserts once existed where forests now grow. Regions that are currently frozen were once tropical. The climate system has always changed. The important question today is not whether climate changes naturally. It always has. The important question instead is whether human activity is now accelerating those changes faster than many natural systems can comfortably adapt to. Scientists study ancient climates using a surprising variety of methods. Ice cores drilled deep into Greenland and Antarctica contain tiny trapped air bubbles from thousands of years ago. Tree rings reveal periods of drought and rainfall. Ocean sediments contain evidence of ancient temperatures and atmospheric conditions. Coral reefs preserve chemical records of changing oceans. Together, these records allow scientists to reconstruct climate history, stretching back hundreds of thousands of years. One of the major discoveries from these studies is that carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere are now significantly higher than they have been for an extremely long period of human history. To understand why this matters, we need to examine something called the greenhouse effect. Sunlight passes through Earth's atmosphere and warms the surface of the planet. The Earth then radiates some of that energy back outward in the form of heat. Certain gases in the atmosphere trap part of this outgoing heat, preventing all of it from escaping into space. Without this natural greenhouse effect, Earth would be a frozen world, far too cold for most life. The problem, however, begins when greenhouse gases increase beyond natural balance. Carbon dioxide, methane, and several other gases act like an increasingly thick blanket around the planet, trapping additional heat. Since the Industrial Revolution, humans have burnt enormous quantities of coal, oil, and natural gas. These fuels powered factories, transportation, electrical generation, heating systems, shipping, aviation, and modern industry. At the same time, large-scale deforestation reduced the number of trees available to absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Agriculture also contributes through methane emissions from livestock and rice production. Cement manufacturing, industrial processes, and land use changes all add further greenhouse gases as well. Many scientists point out that while natural climate cycles still exist, human influence now appears to be adding extra warming on top of those natural variations. One useful comparison is the planet Venus. Venus has an atmosphere extremely rich in carbon dioxide. Surface temperatures there are hot enough to melt lead. Earth is nowhere near such an extreme situation, but Venus demonstrates the power greenhouse gases can have on planetary temperatures. The climate system itself is incredibly complicated. Many people imagine climate as simply temperatures rising or falling, but in reality the Earth behaves more like a giant interconnected machine with countless moving parts. Ocean currents transport heat around the world. Forests absorb carbon dioxide while also influencing rainfall patterns through evaporation. Cloud systems reflect sunlight during the daytime while also trapping heat during the night. Volcanic eruptions can temporarily cool the planet by placing particles high into the atmosphere. Solar activity changes over time. Even dust storms, vegetation changes, and wildfire smoke can influence regional climate conditions. Because all of these systems interact with one another continuously, climate scientists rely heavily upon computer models, capable of processing enormous quantities of data. Modern climate models divide the Earth into millions of small sections and calculate how heat, moisture, wind, clouds, and ocean currents move and interact. These simulations require some of the most powerful supercomputers on the planet. Even then, scientists continue refining the models constantly as new observations become available. This complexity explains why climate forecasting involves probabilities and ranges, rather than simple, exact predictions. Scientists can often identify long-term trends with increasing confidence while still debating the precise speed, regional effects, or timing of some future changes. The atmosphere interacts constantly with the oceans, forests, ice sheets, deserts, and even microscopic marine organisms. Ocean currents also transport heat around the world. Clouds can both cool and warm the planet, depending on altitude and composition. Ice reflects sunlight back into space, and dark ocean water absorbs heat. Tiny changes in one area can influence weather patterns thousands of miles away. That complexity is one reason climate forecasting remains challenging. But despite the complexity, scientists have observed one very clear overall trend. Average global temperatures have risen significantly over the last century, with much of the warming occurring in recent decades. And with rising temperatures come changes to weather patterns, oceans, storms, rainfall, and atmospheric circulation. Now at this time, I would like to ask if we have any check-ins, questions or comments for the Thursday Information Net before we turn over to the next narrator. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
VK2 Delta Yankee.
Okay, I recognize VK2DY. That is Robert. And I am aware that you have a birthday coming up, I am pretty sure. So, wish you a very happy birthday for then. And what is your check-in, question, or comment at this time for the net? VK2DY from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Declan. This is Robert, VK2DY in northwestern Sydney, where it's currently 16 degrees Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit, and we'll get up a bit warmer than that, but I don't think we'll hit 70 Fahrenheit today. So it is late autumn here, almost winter, so it's not going to get much warmer. Anyway, wanted to just say the same thing that you were emphasizing, that you were saying, that it isn't climate. The climate always changes. It's the rapid change in the climate, the change in the things. For example, we in the last 6 years, have had 400-year floods in the Sydney area and in much of Australia. The desert that we have normally has gotten lots and lots of rain. We've just had a lot of rain in the last 4 years, and before that we had terrible, terrible bushfires, worse than we've seen in a long, long time. And so it's just the climate is becoming more and more extreme. I think that's at least the observance I'm getting from down here in Australia, is that these are natural patterns, but they seem to be much, much more extreme. And I guess that's why I didn't really have a question. That was just, I just wanted to make that comment. VK2DY, back to Ned.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there, Robert, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. I think extreme weather is becoming much more frequent in recent years, and I feel like a lot of that has been caused by human use patterns, which has sort of exacerbated the natural circumstances by which the climate is changing. That has made, in essence, it has made the natural things that are happening that little bit more intense, while also adding an extra layer on top of changing climate, in terms of we are more regularly now getting temperatures and weather patterns that are very unseasonable for what we would traditionally associate with the sort of season, with like the months of the year. For example, it feels like, from my recent recollection, the most common time where I have seen snow, or at least like very cold weather, cold enough for snow to stick should it fall, has been around February, March, April sort of time. Whereas usually a lot of people would associate snowfall with the winter months, like the height of winter, whether that be in the southern hemisphere, the likes of June, July, or here in the UK, whether it be December, January. From 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, continuing. Yeah, and really it's just, also we've seen a lot of sort of heat waves, a lot of temperature spikes that you wouldn't usually see. And in combination with that, you also see a lot of rain falling at times that you wouldn't necessarily expect. It feels like in every sort of transition into a new season, we get this sort of sense that the pattern, we like get this sort of feeling that we're going into that season. For example, we're going into summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, things are starting to get warmer, but then you all of a sudden have this sort of burst that lasts like a week or two, of like really cold, really gloomy and rainy weather with storms, which is very strange. And it is interesting to, like, really deeply dive into these weather patterns and how they change and how that impacts the climate as it's becoming more and more frequent. But yeah, I want to know what you think about that there, Robert. VK2DY from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Yeah, 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, VK2DY returning here. Yeah, I think in this year, you know, we've had... It doesn't snow in Sydney, but it snows up in the higher elevations. As you get above 1,000 meters, it snows. And normally, you know, you may get a light snowfall before June, but this year they've had blizzards up in the ski fields. You know, it's just they've had so much snow up there. It melts, of course, because it's still that time of year, still too warm, but. But the fact that they've had blizzards two or three times now up in the ski fields is pretty different from what the normal weather pattern has been in the past. So, winter's sort of, everything's sort of a little bit more extreme, I guess. VK2DY.
Yeah, okay, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Yeah, thank you. And, yeah, it's very strange that... starting to see things that are, like, not really to be expected for that sort of time of year, and it's getting that bit more extreme. Like, sometimes you'll get the sort of out-of-season little bits of, well, I would say rainfall, but rain is very common irrespective of season here in the UK, so I can't really say much about that. But, snowfall, in rare circumstances that we get it here, where we live in Newport, South Wales, it does tend to be recently of rather periods of time that you wouldn't associate with snowfall. It would be like, and it would come just after a sort of time where it's starting to get a little bit warmer and where the days are starting to get a little bit brighter and where things are starting to seem a little bit like we're on the path towards summer or like going through spring, something like that. And then you all of a sudden get something that makes you think it is not quite anywhere near spring or summer yet. When you feel like how cold some days can be, when you feel how windy, how rainy, and sometimes, in extreme cases, snowy these days can be. And it's just strange because... I do remember, I think it was a day, I'm not sure when, it was a recent year, it was like in July, there was a lot of rainfall on a certain day, which was very strange for us here, because in recent years, we have also seen some like actual seasonable weather with like sunshine in the summer, a little bit reset. Yeah, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, continuing. But then you just tend to see those instances of very rainy days that are just quite strange and quite shocked to the system because you think, oh, I've shelved the coat for the season because it's definitely getting warmer. We're definitely getting into the summer. It's starting to get to the time where, you know, the sun protection comes out and the sunglasses, shorts and t-shirts, those sort of things. Starting to get into that sort of season, but then all of a sudden on one day you just see buckets of rain falling, and it's just really strange. But yeah, climate change is doing a lot of strange things to weather patterns in recent years, I would say. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Robert, and I hope that you have yourself a great day. Hope you're having yourself a great week, and yeah, thank you very much for your inputs tonight. Before I move along to the next narrator, I will once again ask, just to check, if we have anybody else who would like to give any check-ins, questions, or comments at this time for the Thursday Information Net before we proceed. Okay, nothing heard. So, I think it is now time for me to pass on to someone who is of my senior, who would be, I would think, a bit more experienced with life in general, and has witnessed a little bit more of that change than I have. I am, of course, talking about Dave, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, of course, the net manager of South Cars, and the next narrator for the Thursday Information Net. Go ahead, Dave, from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Okay there, Declan, thank you very much indeed for that first part of the TIN this evening. Okay, I'm going to continue. To understand some of those changes more clearly, we now turn our attention toward the Pacific Ocean and two climate patterns that many people have heard about but few fully understand, El Niño and La Niña. When people hear the terms El Niño and La Niña on weather forecasts, many assume they're simple storms or unusual weather events. In reality, they are part of a vast ocean atmosphere cycle occurring mainly across the Pacific Ocean. And they can influence weather patterns across much of the entire planet. The Pacific Ocean acts as a gigantic heat reservoir. It stores and moves enormous quantities of thermal energy. Under normal conditions, trade winds blow from east to west across the tropical Pacific. These winds push warm surface water toward Asia and Australia. Now near the western Pacific, ocean temperatures become very warm. Meanwhile, colder water rises towards the surface near the coast of South America in a process known as upwelling. This circulation pattern strongly influences rainfall, storms, atmospheric pressure, and jet stream behavior. Every few years, however, the system changes. During an El Niño event, the trade winds weaken. Warm water that normally remains concentrated in the western Pacific begins spreading eastward towards the central and eastern Pacific. Ocean temperatures rise across large areas. This shift changes atmospheric circulation patterns around the world. Some regions experience much heavier rainfall and flooding. Others may suffer drought and heat. Global average temperatures often increase during strong El Niño years because additional heat from the Pacific enters the atmosphere. El Niño can influence weather thousands of miles away from the Pacific itself. In some years, parts of South America experience severe flooding. Australia and Indonesia may become hotter and drier, increasing wildfire risks. Certain regions of Africa may suffer drought. Winter weather patterns across North America and Europe can also shift. Atlantic hurricane activity sometimes decreases during El Niño periods because upper level winds disrupt storm development. Then comes the opposite phase, La Niña. During La Niña conditions, trade winds strengthen. Warm water becomes even more concentrated in the western Pacific, while colder water dominates the eastern Pacific. Global weather patterns again change. Some regions become wetter, others cooler. Atlantic hurricane activity can increase during La Niña because atmospheric conditions become more favorable for storm formation. Flooding rains may intensify in some countries while drought conditions affect others. What makes all this especially important today is that these natural climate cycles are now operating in a warmer world. Scientists continue studying whether climate change is altering the behavior, intensity, or frequency of El Niño and La Niña events. While research is ongoing, many experts believe warmer oceans can amplify some of their impacts. Warm water contains energy, a great deal of energy in fact. As global ocean temperatures rise, the atmosphere above those oceans can hold more moisture. That additional moisture becomes fuel for storms. When storms form over warmer oceans, they may draw upon larger amounts of heat energy, and this can contribute to more intense rainfall, stronger winds, and more severe weather systems. Recent years have seen marine heat waves across several oceans. Some of these marine heat waves have covered areas thousands of miles across and persisted for weeks or even months. Scientists have observed significant temperature anomalies in parts of the Atlantic, Pacific, and the Mediterranean. Warmer oceans not only influence those, but can also disrupt entire ecosystems. Species that depend upon cooler waters may migrate away, while invasive species sometimes expand into new regions. Plankton populations may shift. Fish breeding cycles can become disrupted. Seabirds and marine mammals may struggle when food chains are altered. In some coastal regions, unusually warm waters have caused mass mortality events among shellfish and other marine life. Commercial fisheries can also suffer severe economic consequences when species move away from traditional fishing grounds. Communities that have relied upon predictable ocean conditions for generations may suddenly face uncertainty. Large areas of ocean water have reached unusually high temperatures for extended periods, and these marine heat waves affect coral reefs, fisheries, ecosystems, and weather patterns. Coral bleaching events have become increasingly common as ocean temperatures rise. Now, corals live in a delicate partnership with microscopic algae. When water becomes too warm, corals expel the algae and lose both color and a major source of nutrition. And if conditions persist too long, entire reef systems can die. Changing ocean temperatures also affect fish migration patterns. Species move towards cooler waters, altering ecosystems and impacting fishing industries. In some regions, traditional fisheries are already facing major disruptions. There are also wider concerns regarding ocean circulation itself. Some scientists are carefully monitoring major ocean current systems, such as the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. Now, this circulation helps transport heat around the planet, and any significant long-term weakening could potentially influence temperatures, rainfall, and storm tracks across Europe and North America. And at the same time, oceans absorb enormous amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. While this slows atmospheric warming to some extent, it creates another problem. Ocean acidification. As carbon dioxide dissolves into seawater, chemical reactions occur that gradually increase acidity. This affects shell-forming marine organisms, including corals, shellfish, and some plankton species that form the base of marine food chains. The oceans are therefore playing several roles at once. They store heat, they influence storms, they absorb carbon dioxide, they shape atmospheric circulation, and increasingly, they show signs of stress from rising global temperatures. For amateur radio operators and emergency communications group, major storms linked to ocean conditions are not simply scientific discussions. Large hurricanes, cyclones, typhoons, and flooding events regularly disrupt power grids, cellular systems, internet infrastructure, and transportation. In many disasters, radio communications remain among the few systems capable of operating independently of damaged infrastructure. Portable antennas, battery power, emergency nets, and trained operators can become critically important when conventional systems fail. As oceans continue warming and weather systems become more energetic, the importance of resilient communications may continue growing, but storms do not move randomly. Across the upper atmosphere are giant rivers of air that guide weather systems around the planet. These powerful air currents are known as the jet streams, and increasingly scientists are examining how climate change may be actually influencing them as well. Okay, this is GW8SNL, looking for any check-ins, questions, or comments at this time. If so, please call now. Second call for any check-ins, questions, or comments at this time, GW8SZL. Okay, nothing heard, so at this time I'm going to pass it on to Chief W4RFJ for the next installment about climate change. W4RFJ, this is GW8SNL. Are you with us there, Chief? And if so, go right ahead, sir.
GW8SNL from W4RFJ, do you copy?
Yeah, copy you loud and clear there, Chief. Go right ahead, from GW8SNL.
Okay, well, thank you. This is W4RFJ. And I got some bragging rights to pass along here. I got a big hug from Kathy this afternoon. It brightened my whole millennium. All right, high above the earth, thousands of feet above most commercial aircraft, powerful rivers of fast-moving air circle the planet. These are the jet streams. Jet streams form because of the temperature differences between colder polar air and warmer air close to the equator. The greater the temperature difference, the stronger and more stable the jet stream tends to be. These air currents play a major role in steering storms, influencing rainfall patterns, and determining where the warm or cold air travels. Meteorologists track the jet stream constantly because even relatively small shifts can dramatically change or alter weather conditions. In recent years, however, scientists have observed unusual jet stream behavior during several extreme weather events. One important factor may be the rapid warming occurring in the Arctic. The Arctic is warming significantly faster than many other parts of the world. This phenomenon is often called Arctic amplification. As temperatures rise in the far north, the temperature difference between the Arctic and lower latitudes may weaken. Some researchers believe this can lead to a weaker, slower, and more unstable jet stream. Instead of flowing in a relatively straight west-to-east pattern, the jet stream may develop larger waves and loops. When this happens, weather systems can become stuck. Heat waves may linger over one region for days or even weeks. Storm systems may stall and dump enormous amounts of rainfall over the same area. Cold Arctic air may plunge much further south than usual. These distorted jet stream patterns have been associated with the several major weather extremes in recent years. Persistent heat domes have trapped intense heat over the parts of Europe and North America. Some flooding disasters occurred because rain systems remained nearly stationary for long periods of time. At other times, severe winter cold has spread unusually far southward. The relationship between Arctic and warming and jet stream behavior remains an active area of scientific study. Climate systems are extremely complex, and not every scientist agrees on all the details. However, there is growing concern that warming in the Arctic may be influencing large-scale atmospheric circulation in ways that contribute to more persistent and extreme weather patterns. Nowhere are climate changes more visible than in the polar regions themselves. Arctic sea ice has declined dramatically over the recent decades. Summer ice coverage continues shrinking. Ice thickness has also decreased. Glaciers in the many mountain regions around the world are retreating. Greenland continues losing large quantities of ice each year, and parts of the Antarctica are also showing signs of instability. One important concept here is something known as the albedo effect. Fresh snow and the thick ice can act almost like a giant mirrors, helping keep polar regions cool. But when the ice melts and the darker surface becomes exposed, far more solar energy is absorbed. Dark ocean water, exposed soil, and rocky surfaces retain heat much more effectively than reflective ice. This process creates one of the most concerning feedback mechanisms in the climate system. As temperatures rise, more ice melts. As scientists monitoring Arctic regions have observed, that warming there is occurring several times faster than the global average in some locations. Entire ecosystems are being affected. Okay, I might repeat something here. Let's see. Entire ecosystems are being affected. Animals adapted to sea ice conditions, including polar bear, seals, and walrus populations, face increasing pressure as hunting grounds and breeding areas change. Indigenous communities across Arctic regions are also experiencing rapidly changing environmental conditions that affect travel, hunting, infrastructure, and traditional lifestyles. Bright ice reflects large amounts of sunlight back into space. Dark ocean water absorbs much more heat. As ice melts, more dark water becomes exposed. That water absorbs additional heat, which leads to the more warming and more melting. It becomes a feedback loop. The loss of reflective ice accelerates warming further. There are additional concerns beneath the frozen ground itself. Large areas of the Arctic contain permafrost. Permafrost is soil that has remained frozen for extremely long periods. As temperatures rise, permafrost begins thawing. This thaw can release methane gas trapped underground. Methane is a particularly powerful greenhouse gas. Over shorter time scales, it traps far more heat than carbon dioxide. Scientists are closely monitoring these regions because widespread methane release could potentially accelerate warming further. Okay, continuing on. Melting ice also contributes to sea level rise. When land-based ice sheets and glaciers melt, additional water enters the oceans. Rising sea levels threaten coastal cities, low-lying islands, ports, wetlands, and infrastructure. Saltwater intrusion can contaminate freshwater supplies and agricultural land. Coastal erosion increases. Storm surges become more dangerous because higher sea levels allow water to penetrate further inland. Some island nations already face serious long-term concerns regarding habitability. Sorry. Ancient ice contains remarkable records of Earth's climate history. Ice cores drilled from the Greenland and Antarctica contain trapped bubbles of ancient atmosphere. By analyzing these samples, scientists can compare modern atmospheric conditions with those from tons of years ago. These records help reveal how temperatures and greenhouse gas concentrations changed through previous climate cycles. Okay, this is W4RFJ for ID. One of the striking findings is how rapidly atmospheric carbon dioxide levels have risen during the modern industrial era. At the same time, glaciers that existed over centuries or even millennia are disappearing. Entire landscapes are changing. Communities that relied upon glacier-fed rivers for water supplies are beginning to face uncertainty. Mountain tourism industries are changing. Ecosystems adapted to colder conditions are being forced to move, adapt, or decline. Polar regions may seem distant to many people, but changes there influence the entire global climate system. The Arctic helps regulate planetary temperature balance, ocean circulation interacts with polar conditions, jet streams respond to temperature differences, sea level rise affects coastlines worldwide. What happens in the polar regions does not stay in the polar regions, and interestingly, the effects of climate change are becoming visible not just in distant ice fields, but in the weather people experience disturbed storms, wildfires, and drought. These are the changes many people are now noticing personally. This is W4RFJ. I'd like to make another comment, too. The fact that all the ice is melting in Greenland and the Antarctica, it's also changing the salinity of the ocean, which also affects the heat absorption and actually how it flows. This is W4RFJ. Has anybody got a comment or like to check in? Please come now, W4RFJ.
K2HA.
Well, if it isn't the happy amateur, Fred, go ahead. What's your comment, sir?
Okay, this is Fred, K2HA. You know, thinking about the receding glaciers, you know, it takes me back to the area that I live in right now, which is like the Adirondacks and the Catskills here and New York area, Pennsylvania. We used to be covered in glaciers many, many years ago. And that's why the mountain ranges here in the this part of the United States are rounded off. They're smooth. Whereas out in California and out in the ranges, the mountain range on the west side of the United States, they have jagged mountain ranges that weren't under glaciers. Remember, I lived in Alaska. We had, you know, we dealt with permafrost, yes, and having problems with the as slowly, you know, it moves and. But in Fairbanks, we still had ice underneath. It took many, many years for that to go away, but it will. But I'm just wondering, I understand there is some human intervention here, but my Lord, the world has had many, many different conditions over its existence, and I'm wondering if there's a pattern. And I don't know what it is, but I'm suspicious. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, that's very interesting, Fred. Yeah, well, I guess you assume that there is a pattern. I mean, in the past 2,000 years of recorded history, you know, there's been cycles. You know, there's been ice ages and so forth and so such. But, you know, It may or may not. I don't think we have all the information to determine what those cycles are. But anyway, I fix radios and computers. I don't fix weather systems. But very, very intriguing thought, Fred. Thanks. Okay. Did you have anything else to add, Fred?
Oh, okay, Chief, this is Fred, K2HA. Yeah, you know, there are some parts now of France that are changing and not being able to grow the grapes that they want anymore, but now there is the grape growing for those fine wines is starting to move into the British Isles. And so I'm wondering if as things change and people get new ability to grow crops, and people lose ability to grow crops. Whereas, you know, trees change, the climate changes. If people who are disenfranchised from the new opportunity to grow those fantastic grapes would be upset if we slowed down global warming here. It's interesting. And whether there would be some gigantic lawsuit about people interfering with nature. Back to you, Chief. This is Fred, K2HA.
Okay, Fred, thank you very much. This is W4RFJ, and I'm getting distracted here, but let me finish up. Is there anybody else that would like to check in? Please call W4RFJ.
VK3ESC listening.
Okay, the VK3 station, are you checking in, and do you have a comment on tonight's TIN?
I don't have a comment. I just wanted to check in and just let you know that I'm listening. Thank you very much. Beautiful conversation. Over.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you mind filling in the rest of your call? I didn't get it all. If you don't mind repeating your call sign, please.
Apologies for that. It's Victor Kilo 3 Echo Sierra Echo VK3 ESE Echo Sierra Echo. Over. To you, mate. Thank you.
All right. VK3 Echo Sierra Echo. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you. Anybody else who would like to check in and or have a comment on tonight's TIN? Okay. Hearing none, this is W4RFJ. I'm going to pass the reins on over to the alien life form. Greg, it's your turn, sir. Are you there?
KE5AOF to W4RFJ. Chief, yeah, I'm here. I came down here and landed on the planet, especially just for tonight. And great commentaries that you had, sir. Appreciate it very much. All right, let me start with my session here. For many people, climate change stopped being an abstract scientific discussion, and once unusual weather patterns became difficult to ignore. In many parts of the world, summers are arriving earlier, lasting longer, and bringing higher temperatures. Heat waves once considered rare are becoming more frequent. Nighttime temperatures are also remaining higher, reducing opportunities for cooling and increasing health risks. Urban areas often became especially vulnerable because of what is known as the urban heat island effect. Concrete, asphalt, brick, and dark roofing materials absorb and retain heat throughout the day. Cities, therefore, remain warmer than surrounding rural areas, particularly during hot weather. Air conditioning demand rises sharply. Electrical grids come under increasing pressure. In some cases, extreme heat has caused infrastructure failures, transportation disruptions, and public health emergencies. But why exactly does a warmer atmosphere create more severe weather? The answer lies partially in energy and moisture. Warm air can hold more water vapor than cooler air. As temperatures rise, evaporation increases from oceans, lakes, rivers, and soil. That additional moisture enters the atmosphere. When storms form, they have access to larger quantities of water. This can produce heavier rainfall and increased flooding. In simple terms, the atmosphere becomes somewhat like a large sponge. A warmer atmosphere can hold more air moisture before releasing it. When release finally occurs, rainfall may become far more intense. This helps explain why some regions have experienced extraordinarily flooding events in recent years. Storm drains, rivers, dams, and infrastructures designed for older climate conditions may no longer be adequate for newer rainfall extremes. At the same time, heat itself can worsen drought. Higher temperatures increase evaporation from soil. Drier soils lose moisture more rapidly. Vegetation becomes stressed. Forests and grasslands become more vulnerable to wildfire. Long drought periods can transform entire landscapes into highly flammable environments. Wildfires themselves create additional problems. In some major wildfire events, smoke has traveled across entire countries and even crossed oceans. Particulates carried high into the atmosphere can create hazardous breathing conditions hundreds or even thousands of miles away from the fires themselves. Hospitals often report increases in respiratory illnesses during severe smoke events. Visibility can become dangerously reduced. Air travel may be disrupted. Outdoor work and recreation becomes hazardous. Wildfires also increase enormous quantities of carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere. Forests that once absorbed carbon dioxide can suddenly become major sources of emissions after large fires. Recovery may take decades depending on the severity of the damage. Some forests may not recover fully. If repeated fires occur too frequently or if climate conditions become dry for previous ecosystems to reestablish themselves. In certain regions, wildfire behavior has become so intense that firefighters have observed phenomena once considered extremely rare, including fire-generated thunderstorms, known as cumulonimbus clouds. These massive fire-driven storm systems can create their own lightning, strong winds, and rapidly changing fire behavior. Smoke affects air quality over enormous distances. Communities may face evacuations. Power lines and communication infrastructures can be damaged. Emergency services become stretched. Some regions all experience wildfire seasons lasting far longer than in previous decades. Storm intensity is another growing concern. Tropical cyclones, hurricanes, and typhoons draw energy from warm ocean water. As sea surface temperatures rise, storms may intensify more rapidly. Some storms have shown explosive strength over surprisingly short periods. Heavy rainfall associated with tropical systems has also increased in many events. Even outside tropical regions, powerful weather conditions can develop. Atmospheric rivers, for example, transport enormous quantities of moisture through narrow corridors in the atmosphere. When these systems make landfall, they can produce extreme rainfall and flooding. Another type of storm system received attention is the so-called bomb cyclone. This occurs when atmospheric pressure drops extremely rapidly by producing very intense storm systems. Meteorologists are also studying how changing climate conditions may influence severe thunderstorms and tornado environments. The atmosphere contains more energy, warmer temperatures increase instability. Moisture availability changes. While tornado prediction remains difficult, some studies suggest severe thunderstorm environments may become more favorable in certain regions. The financial impact of extreme weather are also becoming increasingly visible. Insurance losses from storms, floods, and wildfires have risen dramatically. Agriculture faces growing uncertainty from drought, heat stress, changing rainfall patterns, and shifting growing seasons. Water shortages are becoming serious concerns in several regions around the world. Transportation systems may be affected by heat damage to roads, railways, and airport infrastructure. Public health systems face challenges from heat-related illness, smoke exposure, flooding contamination, and expanding ranges of some disease-carrying insects. And yet, extreme change does not affect every region in exactly the same way. Some areas may experience heavier rainfall, others may become drier. Some regions may see milder winters, others may experience more weather swings. Climate systems often involve enormous interactions between oceans, atmosphere, land, and ice. That complexity makes local forecasting difficult, even while long-term global trends become clear. One phrase often used by scientists is this: climate change does not necessarily create entirely new weather phenomena. Whether it can increase the intensity, frequency, duration, or likelihood of events that already occur. As societies face these growing challenges, technology, forecasting systems, communications, networks, and scientific research become increasingly important. The future may bring significant risk, but it may also bring tools, new solutions, and new opportunities for adaptions. That's it, my section here. At this time, I'm going to ask if there's any check-ins, questions, or comments before I turn it over to our next narrator. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to turn it over to Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, who is filling in for KB9 EWG, Dave, who's in the hospital, and we're all wishing him the best. I hope he's things go fine. GW8 SEL from KE5 AOF, are you there, sir?
KE5 ALF from GW8 SNL. I most certainly am there, Greg, and thank you very much for doing that part of the tonight's program. And yes, we wish David Kilo Bravo 9 Echo Whiskey Golf a quick recovery, and I'm going to cover his session for this month's TIN. Okay, climate change is often discussed in terms of danger and uncertainty. And certainly, the challenges are significant, but the story is not entirely one of disaster. Human beings are remarkably adaptable. Throughout history, societies have overcome enormous technological and environmental changes. And the same scientific and engineering abilities helped create the modern industrial world may also help address many climate-related problems. One major area of development involves energy. Renewable energy technologies have expanded rapidly in recent years. Solar power generation has become far more efficient and affordable. Wind energy continues growing across many countries. Battery storage systems are improving steadily, helping manage fluctuations in renewable power generation. Researchers continue exploring advanced nuclear systems and even fusion energy. Fusion has often seemed permanently 20 years away, but experimental progress continues. If commercially viable fusion ever becomes practical, it could dramatically alter future energy systems. Many countries are also modernizing electrical grids to better handle changing energy demands and more decentralized power generation. In the past, electricity usually flowed in one direction from large power stations towards customers. Modern smart grid systems are becoming far more flexible, allowing homes, businesses, and even electric vehicles to feed power back into the network when needed. This creates opportunities for more resilient energy systems capable of adapting during emergencies or periods of extreme weather. Transportation is also beginning to evolve. Electric vehicles are becoming increasingly common, while research continues into hydrogen fuels, sustainable aviation fuels, and cleaner shipping technologies. Although large challenges still remain, many industries are actively searching for ways to reduce emissions without sacrificing modern living standards. Even small improvements in efficiency across millions of homes, vehicles, and businesses can collectively make a significant difference over time. Scientists are also studying methods of carbon capture. Some technologies attempt to remove carbon dioxide directly from industrial emissions. Others attempt to extract carbon dioxide directly from the atmosphere itself. Large-scale reforestation projects may also help absorb carbon dioxide while restoring ecosystems. Agriculture is changing as well. Researchers are developing drought-resistant crops and more efficient irrigation systems. water recycling and desalination technologies continue improving in regions facing water shortages. Coastal cities are investing in flood barriers, seawalls, storm drainage systems, and resilience planning. Some cities are also redesigning urban environments to cope better with rising temperatures. Green roofs, improved insulation, reflective building materials, and expanding tree coverage can help reduce urban heat island effects. In several countries, planners are reconsidering how communities are built, with greater attention being paid to flood-resistant drainage systems, emergency sheltering, and sustainable water management. These changes may seem gradual, but together they represent a growing recognition that infrastructure designed decades ago may no longer be suitable for future climate conditions. At the same time, forecasting technology has become dramatically more advanced. Modern weather prediction relies upon satellites, radar networks, aircraft measurements, ocean buoys, supercomputers, and increasingly sophisticated climate models. Artificial intelligence systems are beginning to assist with pattern analysis and forecasting. While weather prediction will never become perfect, forecasting skill has improved enormously over recent decades. Earlier warnings save lives. Faster data sharing improves emergency response. More accurate modeling helps communities prepare. Communication systems remain critically important during all major disasters. When storms strike, infrastructure often fails. Cellular towers may lose power. Internet systems may become overloaded or damaged, and transportation networks may be disrupted. And in some recent disasters, emergency alerts delivered only minutes earlier than previously possible have allowed thousands of people to evacuate danger zones before floodwaters, tornadoes, or wildfires arrived. Satellite monitoring can now track storm development, sea temperatures, wildfire spread, drought conditions, and even changes in polar ice coverage with extraordinary detail. Scientists today possess tools the previous generations could scarcely imagine. This is where resilient communications become essential. Amateur radio operators have long played important roles during emergencies. Portable radios, backup power supplies, emergency antennas, and trained operators provide communications when normal systems fail. Weather support in shelters, hospitals, weather spotters, relief agencies, or isolated communities, radio operators continue demonstrating the importance of independent communications. As climate-related disasters potentially become more frequent or severe, preparedness becomes increasingly valuable. Preparedness does not simply mean stockpiling equipment. It means understanding the risks specific to a particular area. For example, communities near rivers may need flood plans. Coastal communities may require evacuation routes and storm surge protection. Areas vulnerable to wildfires may need vegetation management and emergency alert systems. Regions prone to severe winter storms may require backup heating systems and emergency shelters. For radio operators and emergency groups, preparedness often involves regular exercises, backup power testing, antenna maintenance, and coordination with local authorities. Portable generators, solar charging systems, battery storage, and independent communications can become extremely valuable when normal infrastructure fails. Preparedness also includes public education. Communities that understand local risks are generally better able to respond calmly and effectively during emergencies. Families with emergency plans, backup supplies, weather awareness, and reliable communications methods often recover more quickly following major events. In many parts of the world, volunteer organizations, amateur radio groups, search and rescue teams, and local emergency networks continue providing valuable support during disasters and severe weather situations. But there's also reason for cautious optimism. Human knowledge continues expanding. Satellite monitoring systems improve yearly. Climate models become more detailed. International scientific cooperation continues. New technologies emerge constantly, and perhaps most importantly, awareness of climate-related risks is now far greater than it was decades ago. The climate system is one of the most complicated mechanisms on Earth. The atmosphere, oceans, ice sheets, forests, deserts, and ecosystems all interact continuously in ways scientists are still working to fully understand. But one thing has become increasingly clear. The weather patterns many people once considered unusual are becoming increasingly familiar. The planet is changing. How humanity responds to those changes may become one of the defining stories of the 21st century. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are heading towards the close of tonight's program. Do we have any further check-ins, questions or comments before we go ahead and close? This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.
Kilo to Hotel America.
Golf Mike Zero, Uniform Bravo.
Okay, Net Control recognizes Fred the Happy Amateur, that's K2HA, and our good friend Graham up there in Alloa, Central Scotland, GM0UUB. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else at this time, let's go over to the Fred the Happy Amateur, K2HA, from GW8SRL. It's all yours, Fred. Go ahead, my friend.
Okay, I will say thank you, Dave, for putting this program together, and thank you for all the narrators for the fine job on narrating. Interesting, within the last month, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, has revised downward that scenario that they said would be like 8.5, and they came out and said, well, they got their models wrong. It's still warming, and climate change is advancing, but not as fast as they thought. And so if you want to look it up on the internet, it's just been released, and it's good to hear that you know, it's not as drastic as previously reported. They attributed that to the fine work that human beings have done in alternative energy and in refining the models, which is good. Let me reset. This is K2HA. Okay, just want to thank everybody for being a part of this, and as Dave, you wrote in there, it is a complicated, topic, very complicated. There are opinions all over the place. It seems to be warming, and how fast, who knows? But even the experts are revising their predictions. We were supposed to be underwater here on the East Coast, at least that's what they predicted 20 years ago, but it hasn't happened. So it's interesting forecasting, and then you wait to see what happens. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA, and thank you very much.
K2HA from GW8SRL. Well, you know, predictions and modeling has got better as technology has, increased. So, yes, you're going to have revised models there as time goes on. And that's, a lot of money and, research is being done. So, I think it's going to be revised again. But there's got to be a critical point of no return somewhere. Where it sort of takes over itself, and as was mentioned in the TIN, and becomes a self-powering, shall we say, for want of a better word. So it just maintains itself, and it just runaway temperature, shall we say, and with the greenhouse gases. But as I said, more technology, and dare I say it, AI. is creating better models, and that's why it was revised this time. But I have no doubt it's going to be revised in the future. But if we take steps now to sort of minimise the risk, that's good as far as I'm concerned. And I heard your comment as well earlier on. Is this really a long time, like over thousands and thousands of years, cycle that's going on? But mainly over the last 10 years, we've seen massive changes in in weather conditions. Let me quickly reset. TW8SZL continuing. Well, from my own personal experiences over here in South Wales, here in the UK, for example, last summer we had 96 degree Foxtrot temperatures, unheard of, 2 days in a row. Yeah, we can get up to about 85, something like that, even 88. But 96, that was exceptional. I was waiting for it to get 100, myself, but it never happened. Maybe this year. Hi. And of course, then we had a storm then. Our storms normally get blocked by the mountains around here. And so that the other side of the mountains get the worst of it. But they're not really that bad in general. But we had a storm come up from the south, and we ended up with 96 mile an hour winds. Totally unheard of. Caused a lot of damage across the UK. But things like that. And while you heard me mention before there, Fred, the differential between day and nighttime temperatures, it actually reduced significantly. So we'll have to wait and see how it all comes together as time goes on. But I always think if you can reduce, do your best to reduce it, the greenhouse gases and all the rest of it was mentioned towards the end of the TIN. Every little helps, shall we say. Anyway, I'm going to put it back to you there, Fred. K2HA, 2W8SZL.
GW8SZL. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA. Well, I don't know if they're going to be growing palm trees here in Pennsylvania. I think that's going to take a long time before we have that. But I know that it's funny that... change of the growing the line that you have, you can grow certain crops at in different things. It seems to be changing, and so we have to adjust. And it seems like humans are figuring out how to adjust. Okay, thank you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SZL. Yeah, and also like the comment about growing the grapes and for the wine over here in the south east of the UK. And we'll have a chat about that at another time there, Fred. But yes, you are right. We can. And if things go on the way they're going, we might have our own vineyards and, we'll world famous wine and all the rest of it. And people over in France, who actually had, really good wine for ages, they might not be able to grow them at all. So there we go. Okay, Fred, thanks very much for popping in and saying hi. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to say 7-3 to K2HA over there in Broomall, Pennsylvania. And let's go and say hello to Graham, GM0UUB, from GW8SNL.
Well, thank you, Dave. Hello to you and everybody else on the net. This is GM0UUB, Graham here, Alloa, Central Scotland. And is it climate change? I'm not too sure, but apparently we might be even experiencing a heat wave sometime next week. So there we go. We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, I just want to say thank you to you and Declan and the chief and everybody that's contributed. I've been listening to it, and thank you. And always great to hear the Thursday night net and the information and all the rest. Absolutely wonderful. And, not really too much to report. I really just wanted to pop in and just say thanks. It's been really interesting to listen to. And, you know, my only comment would be, because I just can't resist to say something. Of course, you know, the people that do the kind of modelling and predictions right now, they're basing their, you know, basing what they do on the data collected within a relatively, let's face it, relatively short few years compared to the number of years that the world has existed. It's been around this long time, and let's face it, we can see in the history and the history books and all the rest, some might contradict others, but anyway, there's been big changes, different ice ages and this and that and all the rest and blah blah blah. So you know, this world has gone through many changes, and I'm just wondering how much we can really influence what's going on. It's a big thing. And we're just kind of working with data in a short term, you know, relatively, very short term data that we're kind of working with. And really, does that really going to influence everything going forward? I'm not too sure. So I'm not a climate change denial person, but yeah, I just wonder, do we really have to rely on the very short term data that we actually have right now? Because, hey, listen, this world has been around for an awful long time, and maybe it knows best. I'm not too sure. Anyway, Dave, back to you, sir. GW8SNL, thank you, Dave, from GM0, UUB.
GM0, UUB, from GW8SNL. Okay, and I'm not too sure either myself, personally, and whether it's really, you know, the last 10 years and the Industrial Revolution and all that, maybe just helping a little bit and just pushing it to the normal, you know, planetary changes, just a little bit one way. I'm not too sure, but we thought we'd actually just put out the more scientific information out there and let everybody decide on their own. It can be a very controversial subject, climate change. For sure. So we try to stay away from that. But yet, we just don't know for sure. And well, we're not going to. I think we shouldn't take a chance just in case. You know, it's not natural progression. We're just adding to it. But how much are we adding to it, and what it will actually result in, we just don't know, because it's just one of those things. So let's. And on the side of caution, just in case. Thanks there, Graham. Say hi to Helen there, Helen Green of Scotland as well in the background. If she's still awake at 1:32 a.m. in the morning. So I'll put it back to you one more time in case you've got any further comments before I call for another round of check-ins, if there's anybody else listening out there. GM0UUB, GW8SZL.
Oh, thank you, Dave. And I've just got one more comment, and it is, you know, you have these activists out there going, stop climate change. Stop climate change. Well, honestly, once again, Dave, I'm just going to mention, you know, we are only on this planet on a very kind of short visit. You know, when our, you know, just our 3 score plus 10 and all the rest and blah, blah. We're just here in a week kind of short visit, and the scientists are out there doing a fantastic job. I know they do, but they're gathering data within just the last few decades they have and everything else and whatever. You know, the whole kind of idea of stop climate change, you know, Dave, I just don't think that's possible. I mean, we've got the history. We do know some of the history. We can't deny that. The world, the globe, this Earth we're living on, has gone through climate change ever since it was either created or born or existed. You can always have your own ideas about where it came from and everything else. I've got mine. But it's always gone through climate change. So we stop climate change. Does that just mean stop what's happening in the Earth that's gone on for millennia? I'm not too sure. Anyway, stop climate change, really, Dave? I'm not too sure. I don't think that's really possible. Anyway, that's my thought. GM0, UUB.
GM0UUB-GW8S10L. Stop climate change? No. Wait a minute. You've got to be thinking about that one now. You stop climate change. Stop the world from rotating, maybe? I don't know. At least I think it's possible, anyway. Everybody will have a nearly fixed climate. I'd have to think about that one, and it's too late for that. Okay then, Graham, thank you so much for your comments. And we'll chat again tomorrow. No, later today now. On the other net. Okay, I'll say 7 feet to Graham, GM0UB. And, of course, Puppy Odin and Helen Queen of Scotland. Is there anybody else who'd like to check in or got any questions or comments on this evening's Thursday information net? If so, please call now. Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lever. Hearing nobody else, and I'm going to go ahead and close the Thursday information net, the TIN, for the month of May. But if anybody has any suggestions for a topic for the TIN, please drop us an email at voip@scarsvoip.com. That's Victor Oscar India Papa at Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar India Papa.com. voip@scarsvoip.com. And that's also on the website there as well. And okay, this has been Scars VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found at our website at scarsvoip.com. That's Sierra Charlie, Alpha Romeo, Sierra Victor Oscar India, papa.com. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. My name is Dave. My QTH is Newport here in South Wales, on the South Wales coast, 12 miles northeast of the capital city of Cardiff, saying goodnight to one and all, and returning this service back to normal amateur use. Thank you, everybody, once again. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.